Okay, goeiemôre, good morning. Emmy, can we have the first slide, please? You know, a few weeks ago, Retief started a new series on faith. I think quite a number of you guys were here. And then he asked us to say one scripture that comes in your mind when you think of faith. And many of you said many different things. But I remember the one that I said was, next please, the righteous, the just, shall live by faith. This verse is repeated. Oh, it's not very... Why is it so? It's a projector. We can't change it. Yeah. Anyway, now I'll have to test my memory, eh? No, it's in four places in the Bible. The first time it's mentioned, this verse, it's in Habakkuk 2 verse 4. Habakkuk was the last prophet before the Babylonian invasion. And in his book, he mentions that verse. And then Paul mentions it three times in Galatians, Romans, and Hebrews, the same verse. The righteous shall live by faith. And you know, I discovered many of the things that I'm going to tell you this morning is going to, it's very much, you know, when I'm supposed to give a message, it's not much more than a personal testimony. So that's what this morning will be again. This verse has kept me throughout my life. And I discovered it, dankie, it's baie beter. I discovered this verse when I first started reading the Bible. And that was about 20 years ago. And as I went through the Bible, I suddenly realized, but I have seen this before, and I have seen this before, I have seen this before. I realized it was the same verse. And while now preparing for today, I read that this verse is one of the pillars of the Christian faith, which I didn't know. And it also says that this verse ticked off the Reformation. The righteous shall live by faith. Now, who's the righteous? Next, please. Who is the just? Emmy, can we have the next one? Is he struggling? Okay. I'll tell you who the just is. I'm the just, and you the just. Everybody who is in a relationship with Jesus is the just. Now, the interesting thing about that verse is it says, the just shall live by faith. It means you're already justified by faith to go to heaven. But there's a life to be lived before we get there. And you know, there was a time in my life when I actually was under the impression you get saved, and now you just wait to get to heaven. But you know what? If you're in that mode, you'll never get to heaven because there's a fight and there's a battle in this world which we have to fight, but we fight that battle in faith. It's a battle of faith. It's no other battle but the battle of faith. And this verse, what I like about this verse, it emphasizes that. Right, so we can move on. Next, please. I went to the Strong's Concordance just to look up the word life. You know, Jesus spoke in John 10:10 about life in abundance. Né? Life in abundance. And the Strong's says that life is to live, to stay alive, to be preserved, to flourish, to enjoy life, to live in happiness, to be animated, like we were this morning when we sang, I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. Not all of us. To recover health and to live continuously. So eternal life starts a day by faith. We become justified, become children of God. But then the life of faith starts. The just shall live by faith. And that faith life continues till when? Till we go to heaven. Because we don't need faith in heaven. We need faith here. And I would just like to say a few things that the Lord dropped in my spirit about faith recently. It's mainly through connection with people and things I hear. Just wrong things about faith that I would just like to say a few words. And then a few right things about faith. Now the first thing is, the next please. You know, faith comes through the Word of God. Romans 10:10 says, the Word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach. that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is faith for salvation. But you know what? It's that same word that gives us the faith from day to day. Our faith should be based on the word. And why is this so important? I recently met a guy who's been attending church for most of his life. And on the way back from a prayer meeting, which I invited him to, he said, out of the blue, "You know, Johan, I do not believe there is a hell." So I said, I was a bit flabbergasted. So I said, "You know, but that is not the truth. The truth is there is hell." And then he said, "Why do you say that?" I said, "Because the Word of God says it." And then I realized that this man had the belief that if you just believe strongly enough in anything, it's true for you. That's a lie. Every piece of faith that we have is based on the Word of God. And if it's not based on the Word of God, we'll see in a moment how dangerous it is. My children in Joburg told me the story of a couple. There was a guy ministering in their church, and he came up to them, and he said, "You two are going to Israel as missionaries. Sell everything you have. Go to the airport that day. The tickets will be ready there. Somebody will give you the tickets, and you'll be off." You know what? They did it. They got to the airport. Yes, I don't have to say what happened. There was nobody there. No tickets. So it was a word, but it was not a word from God. But they had all the faith in the world, sincere faith in that word, but it was not a word from God. Right, it's a bit negative, eh? But now we move on to the positive. Yes, so if we speak about the Word of God, we first, of course, we talk about the Word, the written Word, which we read. But then there's also the Rhema Word. And the Rhema Word is where God lightens up or drops something in your spirit that you know, that you know, that you know, this is God. And you know, my children are here this morning with my grandchild. I wasn't planning to say this, but I didn't want to put them, you know, in a bad spot. But this morning when this little girl was here waving the flag, you know what? There was no hope for her. And God gave both Rihanna and myself a verse from Psalm 113. He said, with all the negative circumstances around us, he said, "I will make the childless wife a happy mother of children." And you know what? It was one of the handles, the faith handles that Tiff was talking of. We took that handle and we held on to it. And today, you saw her here standing waving the flag. And it was against all circumstances, against all natural circumstances, she came into the world naturally, without any help. And there's another word that was spoken over. It said she would love God, and she would sing and dance for God. And this morning, as I was standing, I took a small video clip. I couldn't help it. I said, "God, this is fulfillment of prophecy." Because all the children had flags, but you know, my daughter is very sensitive to her needs. And she obviously told the mother, "I want to go and wave the flag in front. Otherwise, my daughter would never have brought it to the front." That's a Rhema word. It's an amazing thing. And you know, Retief spoke about the Rhema word which the Lord gave him when they were struggling about the house. You remember his last sermon, the Lord said, "I will bring the house to you." And when I took the plans of the house to them that day, he said that. And you know what you think? You think you hear it, but you also don't hear it. And then months later, a little piece of paper fell from his Bible, and on it was written, "The Lord said, the house will come to us." And you know what? That was about 6 months before I took the plans to them. So that is a Rhema word. And a Rhema word is not something you get in front of the TV. Sorry, guys. Not in Sevendalan. Not on any of those. You don't get Rhema words. Where do you get Rhema words? You get Rhema words with your connection with God. The time you spend with him and his word. And for me, the most precious Rhema word is one where the Lord actually highlights a verse from Scripture supernaturally. And I've had a few of those in my life, and I tell you, every single one of them have come to pass. Because a rhema word passes circumstances. It surpasses the possible. The rhema word means, God says, I am going to give you faith for the impossible. That is rhema. All right. Next. You know, this is so important. I've spoken about the word and I've spoken about faith. But I read this now in Stanford the last week. I said, yes, Lord, you're so faithful. Thank you for this amazing word in Hebrews 4. I'm reading Hebrews at the moment. Verse 2 says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. This refers to the Israelites. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith by those who heard it. You can know the Bible from A to Z, but without faith, it doesn't mean anything. It must be mixed. And I was just thinking, the Lord gave me the picture on my bike, by the way. Philip, you like that. After I read that verse, he showed me two colors, blue and yellow, which has to be mixed to become green. Green is the color of life. Without being mixed, it's useless. So the Israelites had all the words from God, amazing words, but it was not mixed with faith. Not a single one of them entered the promised land. Not one. I always say the Bible is very definite. It's a nothing or everything thing. But not a single one of them entered the promised land. But mixed with faith, of course, the true word will always lead to something good. Right, next. Ooh, now you must please forgive me, but I am now going to talk to you about a holiday we recently had. And, you know, I'm going to talk about it because, not to show you what glamorous it was, I'm going to show you to underline some things of the things about faith that I want to say this morning. You know, I've always had the desire to go to the Seychelles. I think I've shared it here before, many years. I've had it since I was young. I've always had this desire to see the giant tortoises, to see the giant, Coco de Mer palms. I wanted to see that. So the Lord made it possible for us to go. We went in April for 2 weeks. We went on a boat. We rented a boat. We were 5 people. And our skipper was also a Christian, the guy who went with us. But I previously heard somebody said, faith never takes a holiday. And I promise you, we might have been on holiday. But without faith, we wouldn't have been here today to tell you the story. So I just mentioned, just repeated there Galatians 6, you know, that's the armor of God. And it's interesting, we all know it by heart, but you'll see that the shield of faith and then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, very, very prominent in the armor of God. So you don't go to the Seychelles by any means without having the armor of God. And you'll see in a moment why I say that. Next. Oh, no, please go back first. That's a bit fast. Just go back one, Emmy. Okay. You know, the very first morning we went off out sailing, the skipper said, where do you want to go? So we saw a little island in the distance called Silhouette. And we had 14 days, so why shouldn't we go to the first island we see? And we heard good things about it, so we went there. Halfway through, the skipper said, called me away from the ladies. He didn't want them to know. He said, Johan, the siren of the one engine has just gone off. There's 2 engines on the boat. There was no wind. The sea was lying like a mirror. I said, well, he says, you know, Johan, when that happens, you must turn around to the nearest port. I'm sorry to tell you that. That is now laws of being a skipper. So I said, well, you're the skipper. That's the case. You must go back. And he says, to the nearest place, not to the port, to the nearest place where we can tie the boat, you know, safely. We were on our way back for about 15 minutes. He called me again. He said, Johan, can you please get the fire extinguisher? This is very serious. The other engine has caught fire. there's smoke in the cabins. My daughter-in-law was lying in the cabin where the smoke was. And he said, I could see this man was in a total tizz. You know, he said, this is the most serious thing that can happen on a boat, is fire. And the place we were heading for was just in the distance. You know, it was miles away. And, you know, that moment, I just thought, well, this is a dream of a lifetime turning to a nightmare within minutes. And I said, Lord, where are you? We prayed about this. This is you gave it to us. You were blessing us. And now our lives are even in danger. Never mind the boat. And you know, the next moment, oh yes, I activated the fire extinguisher. And the guy afterwards laughed. He said, I stood with it as I was not going to use it. So I said, I knew I was not going to use it because the Lord told me there's not going to be a fire. But anyway, why I'm telling you this story, you know, there are times in your life when disaster, the day of evil, comes so suddenly that you must have the Word of God inside of you. You can't now run, and you must run for the fire extinguisher now, not for the Bible. You must have the Bible inside of you. And the Lord gave me that scripture came up that said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I will deliver you from each of them. That's the word. And then I said, thank you, Lord. When you say each one, it's also this boat catching fire. And you know what? We had to switch off the burning engine, move on to the one with the siren, and you know what happened? We got to the most beautiful place in the Seychelles. A place we would never have seen. A nature reserve called Tenay Bay. Next slide. Now you can show me. And that's me there. I'm sure you recognize me. The white blot. You know what's at the bottom of the boat? Angelfish. Angelfish coming to nibble at my toes. We saw the best snorkeling there. It was one of the three most beautiful spots we saw in the Seychelles. And you know what? We would never have seen it if we didn't have the disaster. And the next day, they brought us a bigger boat for free, costing a third more than the one we rented. That was a boat we originally wanted, couldn't afford it. And we spent the rest of the holiday in the large boat. You know, so why I'm telling you this, yeah, I just thought I have to share it with you. This life is a life of faith. You know, you, wherever you are, whether you're in the Seychelles on this glamorous holiday, whether you're at your work struggling, you will have your things. The enemy will come against us, but we can stand against him with the armor of God, with the word of God, with the sword of the Spirit. And I'm glad I'm here to tell the story. Right, next. Now, this morning when I gave some of my slides to Corbus, my son-in-law, and I just realized he may not agree with what I'm going to say now. How do we grow in faith? You know, when we say we grow in faith, we actually mean we put the emphasis on us. I think we should say, how do we learn to trust God more? How do we make our God bigger? It's not our faith. It's not our faith. It's God. And as you get to know him and test him, or when he helps you in difficult circumstances, that is when God, your God, becomes bigger. And then we say our faith gets bigger. It's not our faith. It's our God gets bigger. So I just want to put that into context. But the first one is, I think, is by seeking God. Now, I'm going to open the audience. How do we seek God? Is that the concept? And I'll tell you why I'm biblical. I'm very biblical. Because the famous verse about faith, Hebrews 6:11, says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So God says, you must seek him, and he says more. He says, there will be a reward if you seek me. And then, interestingly enough, this verse is connected to the faith verse, where it says, faith pleases God. So there is a connection between faith, seeking God, and the reward. How do we see God? Obedience. Obedience, perhaps number one. Obedience. I think we seek Him by reading His Word and meditating on His Word. You know, that scripture which the Lord highlighted in me when we had the fire on the boat was actually a verse I meditated on many years ago when the Lord showed me, I will deliver him out of everyone. Oh, just on that one word. And because that was in my heart, and in my faith was strong. It was a handle I got hold of that day. And I said, Lord, if you say everyone, it means this boat as well. So meditating on the Word of God is a way we seek Him. And then another way of seeking God is seeking to hear His voice. You know, because we have the written Word, but we also have God speaking to us. Like He spoke to the thief when He said, the house will come to you. How sharp are we in discerning that? And you know, I've had it a few times now here in Shofar where God clearly gave me a word, and every time when I wanted to share it, there was actually opposition from the enemy. And that was for me the surest sign that I must share it. The other day when we had to pray for a thief, I thought, God, this doesn't sound so good to tell he's just a little boy holding his father's hand. But that's what God told me. And the enemy didn't want me to say that. He wanted me to pray a nice religious prayer. But I said it because that is what God said. So we seek to hear God's voice. And more, because there are many voices around us, and we must sharpen our ears to hear when He speaks. Right. And then also in Psalm 105, I read this yesterday, it says, seek the Lord and His strength, seek His face evermore. So as we spend time in the presence of God, with His Word, in the company of other believers, but especially the times we and God are together, we seek Him. Right, next. And we also grow in faith by our testimonies. Now, did you see that word testimony? What is the first four letters of testimony? Test. Did you know you can't have a testimony without a test? And did you know it's only the tests where your faith was practiced that will end up in a testimony? The others will be disasters. I could either not have been here today, or I could have a disaster story to tell you about the disaster, our boat burned down. You know what I mean? But I have a testimony because I trusted God. So that is a testimony. And then one clever pastor said, you must also look at the second half of the word. It's about money. God tests us about money before He tests us about anything else. Testimonies. Okay, so that's the word testimony. And you know, for me, the best example of that is David. You know, before David confronted Goliath, he had to confront other things. And it says in 1 Samuel 17:37, the Lord who saved me from the claws and the teeth of the lion and the bear will save me from this Philistine. I'm telling you today, if David was not successful, did not have a testimony of overcoming a bear and a lion, there was nobody to see it. It was only him and the bear, only him and the lion. He would not have had the faith to confront Goliath. So don't look down on past miracles in your life, past testimonies. And I always say, I was at the funeral of a Christian many years ago, and you know, the thing that saddened me, all the testimonies about his life, which people gave, was about 20 years ago. And then I said, Lord, I want to have testimonies till the very end. Because a testimony means that you've passed the test by trusting God. And I'm not trying to blow myself up or anything, but I attend a Christian business meeting every Friday morning. And when the guy asks, any testimonies from the week? I'm so, It's always my hand going up first because I always have a testimony. Because this is a life of faith where you have something to tell where God has come through for you. And I want to encourage you today. This week lying ahead, you will have your tests. But you know what? God can change that test by the end of the week into a testimony next Sunday. And I personally think there should be much more opportunity for us sharing every Sunday. There should be amazing testimonies from this group of people every Sunday of God, how God has come through for us. Right, next. Yes, how long should we keep on believing? How long should we keep on believing? You know, see the time, yeah. I just want to read this from you, the well-known scripture. Oh, by the way, I had a phone call from, we have relatives in Texas, people who immigrated, and my sister-in-law said, you know, I asked, how are the grandchildren? She said, very well. And I said, why do you say that? She said, because the eldest one is now in grade one and is learning Hebrews 11 by heart. I thought, yeah, that's something, eh? So Hebrews 11 says in verse 13, these men of faith, and you know who they are, they're all mentioned there, I have mentioned, died without ever receiving all that God had promised them. But they saw it all awaiting them on ahead and were glad. So they did not see everything they trusted God for in this life. You know why not? I said at the beginning, this life and eternal life is a continuum. We tend to think of this life and then eternal life. It's one. The moment you start knowing Jesus, walking with faith, by faith, it's one. And it says there, the next verse, for they agreed that this earth was not their real home, but that they were just strangers visiting down here. And quite obviously, when they talked like that, they were looking forward to the real home in heaven. So, you know, although the first word says, a verse of that chapter says, faith is the substance and the evidence, you may not see it happen in your life. I must tell you that. And there are things that I haven't seen, which I'm trusting God for, which I still haven't seen happening. There's a famous story of George Müller, who was this German guy who started all the orphanages in Germany. And apparently he prayed for three people in his life for salvation. And the one became saved while he was alive, the one at his funeral, and the third one after his death. Just to encourage you. Right, next. Right, now this is Lucas. Lucas is our skipper, was our skipper. He says he is our skipper. I got to know Lucas at our CBMC meeting and attending every Friday morning. And I'm showing you this picture not to lift somebody up, but to tell you what really impressed me about this guy, apart from his joy and the peace that he has. Next. While I was in the Seychelles, I was reading sometimes with difficulty my Bible because the cabins were very hot and the lights were not so good. But the Lord gave me two scriptures there. And the one I shared with Jenny last Sunday when she was testifying here, I unfortunately gave you the wrong scripture. It's not Psalm 92, it's 96. Psalm 96 verse 2 says, "Bless, sing out his praises, bless his name, each day tell someone that he saves." Each day tell someone that God saves. You know, if you don't start off in the morning with that mindset and praying and saying, God, today I want to put my faith with your word which says, today, wherever it is, whether it's a guy putting petrol in my car, whether it's somebody at work, I want to tell one person that you saved. Because your word says that. I'm entitled to it. And then the next verse which I read there was Paul saying in Timothy 4:1-2, and so I solemnly urge you before God and before Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he appears to set up his kingdom, to preach the word of God, listen here, urgently at all times. Whenever you get the chance, in season and out, when it is convenient and when it is not. Now, I don't think the most when you're on a holiday like this, which you've planned all your life, and you're there for relaxation and sightseeing, testifying of this word is foremost in your mind. But you know, Lucas was such an example to me. Because one night, one evening, two guys from a neighboring ship came to visit us. He's very friendly, invited them over. They came, and they were two men of the world. And as they were leaving, the one told him and said, you know, I'm very concerned about my drinking. I'm drinking too much. You know what Lucas told him? You know, I also drank too much, because he was an alcoholic. He's been dry for 20 years. God delivered him miraculously. He said, I also drank too much, but then I discovered somebody who gave me water that he said, and I would never thirst again. And the guy said, who was that? And he said, Jesus. And he took out the Bible from his pocket, and he gave the guy a Bible. And then he left him. That's all he did. And the next evening, he came to the boat, and he said, I said, where were you today, Lucas? And he said, no, I went where the Spirit of God took me. Buses, you know, going to places. And he got to the end of one of the islands, and there four young men were standing drinking. And he started chatting with them. He's, you know, he's that type of guy. And they invited him for a drink. And he said, you know what, when I was young, I also used to drink a lot. It became a real problem. And he said, but you know, then I met somebody who gave me water, and I never thirsted again. And he said, that is Jesus. I said, can I pray for you? And the four guys huddled together, and he prayed. And the one guy put his head on his chest and started sobbing. And when they opened their eyes, Lucas asked him, is somebody praying for you? And he said, yes, my mother. And you know, that is not doing the 1-3-16 with somebody or going the whole way with somebody, but just telling somebody every day that God saves. But you have to have faith for that. You have to have faith. So faith is not only for us, for this life, to keep us alive and well and to keep our boats afloat. Faith is also for the world outside, and we need that faith. Right, next. So I'm ending off with this. Some people say it's the most beautiful beach in the world. I desperately wanted to see the most beautiful beach in the world, and I did. That's our boat there at the back. And Rana's in the foreground, but I didn't show her. She had a costume on. And you know, what I'm telling, why I'm showing you this is we reached the safety of the beach. And I believe we reached it by faith. And we're all on a boat, this boat of life. And we're all on our way, where? To the most beautiful beach. Not Chevalier Beach in Pralin, but the most beautiful beach. Where who will be? This Jesus, of whom Tasha spoke this morning, with the outstretched arms and the beautiful loving eyes. But to reach that shore, that eternal shore, we will have to have faith. And we will have to learn to live by faith. You know, this past week, one of the mentors in my life, I won't say his name to protect him, he's a very well-known pastor, and his wife, both pastors, came to visit us for a full day in Stanford. I can't tell you what a blessing that was. We were ministering, went to a coffee shop to have coffee, and while we were there, the Lord opened amazing doors for ministry there in the coffee shop with the lady who desperately needed the Lord. And you know what he always says? He says, Johan, I can't believe that I've got this far. He'll be 80 next year. I can't believe I've got this far in one piece. And I said, I know why you've got this far. He says, the grace of God. And I said, yes, but also your faith. Because you and your wife were examples to us of living this life by faith. Right. Can we pray? Yes, Lord, as we prayed before we started talking, we said, Lord, it's all about you, your loving arms, your outstretched arms, and your loving eyes. And Lord, if I have one prayer this morning, it is that myself and everyone here will just run so quickly into those arms. Lord, we're going to have tests this coming week. We know it, Lord. That's life. But Lord, thank you that we can be overcomers. Thank you that we don't have to be victims, Lord, but that we can be overcomers by faith. And Lord, thank you that we're going to trust you, Lord, for amazing testimonies in this church of people living by faith. And Lord, thank you that nothing is too small for you. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And Lord, even this morning, as we think of our lives and situations, and yeah, we think of, we have testimonies, Lord, where you've come through amazingly for each of us. But Lord, there are also things which we're still trusting you for, which we haven't seen yet. But thank you, Lord, that we know that we're on our way to eternal shores, Lord, where you will welcome us. And even if we don't see it in this life, we still know, Lord, that we will not stop believing you or trusting you. In Jesus' name, amen.